92.1 WGHN, Grand Haven's favorite. I'm Mary Ellen Murphy. In the WGHN studio, we have Melissa Myers with MMG Wealth Management. How are you this morning?
I'm doing excellent. Thanks for having me.
The suite looks absolutely beautiful. You have moved to One South Harbor in downtown Grand Haven.
Yeah.
With an incredible view.
I love it. It's an excellent move.
I think so, too. Money is, you know, I grew up in a home where we didn't talk about money, and I tried to change that a little bit when I had kids. Money needs to be talked about. You have wealth management, and I want to know first the difference between wealth management and basic financial advising. Is there a difference?
It depends on who you ask.
Okay.
So I believe that our industry has done, and the regulators have kind of done a disservice, because instead of trying to make it clear as to what different titles or roles and responsibilities that come with the financial advising title or wealth manager title, mm-hmm. they've really muddied the waters, in my opinion.
Okay.
And you might have someone who is, say, a health insurance agent, and they consider themselves a financial advisor.
I see.
It happened at the nail salon one day where we were having a conversation.
Okay.
So I think it's really important to do a little bit of background work when you are considering working with someone to see what their suite of offerings entails and includes. So, you know, a financial advisor, like when I started out, they were still calling themselves stockbrokers.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
So it was like Friday night and they're all taking bets on where the market's going to go at
That's
the end
interesting.
Of the week. And I'm looking around going, oh, my goodness, this is kind of crazy.
Isn't that something?
Scary, and I don't like being wrong. And
yeah.
so trying to make bets on where the market's going to go or
mm-hmm.
a particular stock. What I did early on, I was financial planning when financial planning wasn't cool.
Really?
It was laborious. It took longer. They didn't want that. They just wanted to gather assets, put it in, and,
mm-hmm.
and get their commission.
Mm-hmm.
So the industry really has evolved to more of a holistic approach in offering more than just the sale of a mutual fund or buying and selling stocks and bonds. And so there are still some advisors out there who just want to, quote unquote, run money. They're
mm-hmm.
they're managing portfolios. Others will only do planning and advising. They don't manage money.
Okay.
So there's a wide array. There's also investments that are on an insurance chassis.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a different type of advising and planning. And really, I think at the end of the day, we all, whether or not we recognize that we're all falling into the place, and we should always do this, of leading from a fiduciary perspective.
Yeah.
Always what's right for the client. And, you know, sometimes that's where the regulators tend to pose questions.
Sure.
Well, how are you actually leading from a fiduciary perspective if you get paid a commission? But at the end of the day, I think if you approach it with the right heart and you do the right
mm-hmm.
thing, then you're acting in that fiduciary capacity.
That makes sense. How do you find time to write? You're an author as well. Tell me about that book that you have right there.
Well, that was a labor of love.
Okay.
It actually started during COVID.
Really?
Yep. Many of the components in the book are derived from, I think everything's a building block.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had it on my heart that I wanted to build and design a course that could be offered just online digitally. And so I sold the course and then proceeded to write it.
Really?
And then I decided, oh, well, I guess it's time. We've got some free time, so to speak. Let's write the book.
Mm-hmm.
Quit putting it off. I had all the notes for 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I even had the title, because when I was going back and cleaning out drawers, I found my original brain.
Isn't that something?
Brain dump of,
yeah.
of titles.
Yeah.
So, it was a labor of love. I interviewed over 130 women.
Wow.
Specific to what their thoughts are on wealth and finances and money and their
mm-hmm.
challenges. And so it was something that was born out of a really stressful time in the world. And now it's here to serve and benefit others.
What's the title again?
Going Rogue.
Going Rogue. And I think, especially women, I noticed something. I mean, you would have a field day with me if we ever went over my finances. But I'm actually eligible for Social Security right now, but I'm not taking it. And I went to the website and I was looking at my earnings, okay? And there was a time in my career when I went part-time to be at home with my kids. It was the right thing to do. But I wasn't thinking long term, Melissa. And as a and then look, people get married, they have families with the best intentions, okay? Things happen, you get divorced, and then you find yourself looking at your Social Security saying, well, there were all these years where I was part-time to be home with my kids. I wasn't thinking far enough ahead, you know? And I think all young women should really just come in and sit down with you and get some advice about their finances, where they should put their money, how they can protect themselves.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, you know, there's so many...
It's reality, Melissa.
So many pitfalls that you could avoid. And I always say, like, I want to serve the person I am now in terms of my clients, but I also want to serve the person I used to be with my finances because I made so many financial mistakes. Like, I wrote the book on financial mistakes.
Okay.
Like, and then I literally
then
wrote the book
on
financial mistakes. And I just think it's so much easier if you have a guide. I just came back from a trip from Peru this spring, and that trip would not have been possible had there not been a guide and porters along the way. And that's how it is, I think, with money. You don't have to do all the heavy lifting on your own. You don't have to carry the burden of it on your own shoulders. But that was one of the recurring themes when I was doing my research, that women, especially single women, felt the burden. And it doesn't have to be that way.
That's a real, I'm happy to hear that. And I tell my daughters that as well. I do. When the market becomes volatile, though, you know, how do you help your clients stay confident and stable? Because, I mean, does a government shut? I mean, the world is a crazy place right now. You know, how do you help them with that?
So because we do planning,
mm-hmm.
we can always just go back to the plan and revisit it.
Okay.
The plan also allows us to stress test different scenarios. So it could be market related. The scenarios can be income fluctuations. Mm-hmm. The scenarios could be a disability, even death.
Oh, okay.
So we have the capability to, from the logical perspective, look at it.
Yeah.
Also, it's a reminder that when the market goes down, you can buy it on sale. Who doesn't like a good sale?
That's true. You're right.
And a lot of times it's hard emotionally to make a decision when there's chaos around.
Yeah.
And when other people are talking, be it on media, be it your friend, maybe your parents, we approach it from the perspective of emotion is 90% of financial decisions.
Wow.
There's a study, Daniel Kahneman, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, but he is a Nobel laureate, and he found that 90% of financial decisions are rooted in emotion and only 10% logic.
Interesting.
Yes. And that has really been an eye-opener for me and a conversation starter, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to utilizing systems.
Okay.
When you have a system in place, you don't have to rely on your emotion or your logic.
You're right about that.
To take action.
What about somebody that might be listening right now and they're in late 50s, early 60s, and they have some money and they want to maybe make a trust for their kids? Is that something that you can do as well for people?
Well, we can set up trust accounts as far as the investments go.
Yeah.
The actual trust document mm-hmm. is actually going to be drafted by an attorney.
By an attorney, yep. But you can,
So and I always recommend, you know, an attorney is an attorney, but there are specialists.
Right.
And so seek out an attorney who is an estate planning specialist.
Why do you think we're so funny about money and we don't want to talk about it?
It's scary.
Yeah, it is,
and
isn't it?
The common answer when I interviewed those 130 women, when I asked them what money means to them, it means security.
Safety.
Yep.
Safety, security.
Yep. They want to know they're okay. And it's really interesting when you do start to look, and this isn't, 100% across the board, but when you look at the way men view money versus how men want to look at the pot of money and their net worth, and it is almost, no offense, guys, but it's almost an ego thing.
Oh, for sure.
They've got
I can
this pot of money, and that's their security is their pot. Whereas women are more comfortable knowing that they have a steady stream of income.
Ah.
And it could come from a pension or Social Security or maybe rental properties.
Right.
It could also come from their portfolio and their net worth, but understanding how they're going to be provided for mm-hmm. and taken care of so that they can maintain their lifestyle.
That makes sense to me. How many people are on your staff?
We have, at this point, we have 3 full-time employees and are looking at another one coming on board here in the not-too-distant future.
How exciting.
Yes.
How exciting. I'm just so happy that you're here at One South Harbor. It's got a beautiful view, and, you know, we're in your suite. People know. I talk about it on the air. I see that you have some notes, so there's other things that I know you want to talk about. You know money, so talk to me about money. Because I'm just asking you questions I printed up because I don't know anything about money.
Well, I'm glad that you did because, you know, there's so much in my head and things change from day to day. But one of the questions you did want to explore was what a good client relationship looks like.
Yeah, what is that like for you?
Yeah, so I love it when a potential client interviews us. And I encourage that. I don't believe in scarcity. There's not enough advisors to go around if everybody out there had an advisor. There's too many people compared to advisors, especially women. I mean, unfortunately, we're still 20-30% of the advising population. The rest are men. And that was case in point last week when we went to an event. Looking around the room, 20% were women. And the rest were mainly looking like they needed to retire in the next 10 or 15 years. So there's certainly opportunity for women to get into this industry, which is a really great industry because of the flexibility and the way that we tend to communicate with clients, as well as just our heart for giving back and really serving rather than selling.
Right.
So I do love it when clients know their numbers. It makes it a lot easier.
Okay.
Part of what we do with lifestyle financial planning is really look at your cash flow.
Yeah.
Because if you want to know if you can retire in X amount of years, we have to know how you're actually living and spending your money today, and then what you also might want to do differently in the future. And then we can start matching up your lifestyle with how your money should be aligned and aligned with your values.
Yeah.
So it's a really fun puzzle if you look at it that way.
I would imagine. And, you know, I know people that started saving for retirement when they were 21 years old. I kid you not. Were you one of those people, Melissa?
I did. Yes.
I knew it. Okay.
I was not even 20 and I was putting a little bit of money away every week.
Okay. I know people who have like retired at 58 and they're out traveling and doing all this stuff. And you know what? They planned for it. They planned for it and good for them. A lot of people don't plan for that kind of stuff, you know?
You know, they're one of the big mindset shifts that I really would encourage people to embrace is instead of worrying about what they don't have, think about what they want and then start taking actions to get there. Some of the most fun and rewarding times are when we get to sit down with a client and show them how their net worth has changed since our last meeting. It's terrific when we could say, and now your net worth has 2 commas in it. Congratulations, you're a millionaire. Or when they reach the 10 millionaire, you know, it's so much fun to see those financial accomplishments. That's on paper. Again, the black and white, the map is there, right? But what's really cool is when we can tell someone, hey, based on our calculations, the money you've saved, the work that we've done together over the last 10, 20 years, you can retire if you want to.
How nice to be able to tell somebody that.
Yes. And actually, I write about it in my book, too.
I have
chapter
to read
that. Chapter 12 talks about Michelle, who is choosing to work because she wants to. And it was an opportunity to change positions.
Mm-hmm.
And she got the job that she'd been waiting for like 20 years to
get. Isn't that something? So this is like a 2-parter interview because there's so many questions I have for you, Melissa. But so somebody who is 62 years old, can they come to you and say, hey, I need to do this, this and this? You don't have to start when you're in your 20s. You can start planning. Well, I mean, when you're 62, is it too late to plan?
It depends on what your end goal is.
All right, got it.
So,
okay.
And I like to say, let's go rogue. You know, you don't, just because the IRS says you can access your money without a penalty at 59 and a half, or you can get Social Security at 62, or you get Medicare at 65.
Right.
Those numbers, they don't have to be your numbers.
Okay.
And, you know, we talk about shifting gears and having a comeback career. I don't think that our age dictates what we get to do that enlightens us, that invigorates us, that gives us joy. For some people, it is retiring and spending time with grandkids. For others, it's doing a passion project and giving back to the community.
Everybody's different.
Yeah.
We're out of time, but man, I got to get you back in here because this was great. And I know you do a podcast, right?
I do, Going Rogue 2.0.
And where can people find that?
On any of the major podcast platforms,
okay,
as well as YouTube.
As well as YouTube. Okay. And then do you have a Facebook page for MMG Wealth Management?
We don't. We have LinkedIn.
And LinkedIn.
It's,
okay, wonderful.
It's my name, okay. Melissa Myers.
Okay.
Yep.
And how do people get a hold of you? Is there a phone number they can call?
Yep. Call 231-733-1166 or visit our website at mmg-wealth.com.
So nice to have you in here.
Thanks for having me.